Friends, the first speaker has kind of set a tone for the subject of our lecture, giving us an excellent summary, bringing out that the health depends a lot on a harmonious way of in which the tree grows. It is affected by internal and external circumstances and surroundings. And the subject itself is the laws of health and healing. Obviously, there are two aspects to the subject. One leads to the laws of health, how we can maintain good health by observing good laws, and then comes, if at all we are afflicted with disease, then what are the laws that we need to keep in mind to bring about cure in an appropriate manner? Now, health itself is defined as being sound in body, mind and soul. The word health itself is derived from old English word ha, means whole. So health is to be in a wholesome state. When we are in a wholesome state, then the health naturally comes. Now, as was read out in our devotional reading, Buddha calls health as the greatest of gifts. It's a gift free of cost we have got from Mother Nature. Body is made up of five elements: earth, water, air, akasha, ether. And we use this body, and at death the body returns back to Mother Nature. The elements go back to Mother Nature. But just the way we are using various instruments, body is an instrument for the real man, the inner man, through which we know that we are able to come in contact with other people, through which we are able to carry out various activities. And so body is really not the man itself, but rather an instrument for the inner man, the real man, to work through. And just as any other instrument, whether it is your car or a fridge or anything, which needs to be kept in a fit and running condition by appropriate usage, due care, and also regular preventive maintenance. Like that, our body needs to be taken care of by the right usage and appropriate maintenance. Now, in order to use an instrument, we need to understand the instrument at least in its elementary way. You cannot drive a car unless you have understood at least the basics of how the car works. Likewise, we need to understand our own body a little bit to maintain a good health. Now, body, we know, is a very complex machine made up of many systems and subsystems. We know there is a respiratory system, reproductive system, excretory system, digestive system, nervous system, and so on. And each system is made up of a set of organs. These organs and cells are made up of tissues, and tissues themselves are made up of cells, and cells are made up of lives. But in every system, every organ, every cell has a prescribed function, a role, and it knows what is it, its role, and it works according to that role. And that is how the system as such is able to carry out a specific function. But if there is a disruption, there is a deviation from that prescribed function, if a cell or a set of group of cells starts behaving in a manner which is not their function, then obviously what you have is disease or deviation, which is kind of a disorder that comes about in the body. The question arises, why should a normally functioning, healthy system start behaving in a disturbing manner? Also, there is another important fact that health doesn't depend on each system working independently. There is a very close coordination and harmony between these various systems. necessarily, is a deviation from the harmonious way of coexistence. And so, disease is described as a sin of separateness. See your quotation 1, what does it say? Health of a body as a whole depends on the integrity of all its parts, and more especially upon their harmonious association and cooperation. A diseased tissue is one in which a group of individual cells refuse to cooperate, and wherein is set up discordant action. Using less or gaining more than their due share of food or energy. Disease of the main tissues of man's body is neither more than or nor less than the sin of separateness. So you see, when there is this deviation, what you have is disease. But the question arises, why would such a thing, disruption, happen in a normally working body? Is disease something natural? Does it happen to everyone? Certainly not. There are people who live healthy, cheerfully, and they die of old age, finally. And that should happen to every one of us. We are told that disease is not in the scheme of things. Disease is brought on by man's own inner nature, man's own action. In fact, the master of wisdom, one of the masters, has said that a wild beast, a free animal, or a savage never dies of a disease except they die of an accident or an old age. That should be the case in our case also. But as we said, it is man himself who is responsible. In what way? It is the way we will live our life. Our lifestyle is so full of stress. It's a hectic pace of living. All the time we are trying to achieve something, running after the targets, stress, achieve this, that, and the other, and there is no contentment, no satisfaction. All the time. Life is full of stress, and hypertension, in fact, is one of the topmost diseases claiming lives, particularly in Maharashtra. The other day statistics were published. And to add to this, there is excessive indulgence in drink, smoking, drug, sex, particularly promiscuous sex. And obviously then, what you have is a disease. So diseases are our own making. And we're told that people are becoming health conscious. Perhaps not in a right way. It's good that people are becoming health conscious, they are joining knowing themselves to the clubs, gyms, and they are observing hygiene. These things are essential, yes, for good health. But that is not enough. There are lots that we need to keep in mind for good health. And one of the things that Lord Krishna tells us is for good health, we need to have moderation in our eating, in recreation, in exertion, in sleeping, in waking. And about eating, he says that there are three kinds of food. Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Sattvic is the fat kind of food which increases the length of the days. It gives you vigor. It gives you tranquility of mind and contentment. It's that which is nourishing, which really is conducive to the health of the body. Rajasic is of course excessively pungent, hot, all that chatpata food that we have in our fast food joints, giving you disease and pain in the long run. Of course, tamasic is staying, rotting and unpleasant and is something to be avoided. But some people, they get excessively bad conscious. They make their own life miserable, and miserable life of people who are around. I mean, if you drink this much calorie and excessively health conscious, diet conscious. But we need to be moderate about what we eat. We have to look at fruits and meats. Yes, perhaps it's not a good food. So, in fact, somewhere it is said that rather than paying too much attention to what goes into the mind, we should think about what kind of food we are giving to our inner man. Because after all is said and done, The body will extract from any kind of food which is in conformity with the nature of the inner man. So it is the nature of the inner man that we need to pay attention to, and not too much excessive attention to the kind of food that we eat. Now, there is also another important fact. As we said, we need to know our machinery well. And that important fact is about the fact of nitya pranava that is going on in the body. There is a constant process of destruction and rejuvenation going on in the body, right from birth to the maturity, and then finally there comes decay and death. Cells in the body, they die, they are taken place of by the new cells which take their place. This process is all the time going on. And we are told that what is it that gives rise to the new cells? What is it that sustains the body? We are told that present in the body are not just the various systems that we talked about. Present in the body are also microbes, vesicles, bacteria. And the very cells are made up of tiny lives. Millions of lives make one cell. And these are the entities in their own right. And in these lives are also present what is called as fiery lives. And these fiery lives, they become the sustainer, the one which are the preserver, and they give impulse as it were to grow, and later on their function becomes that of the destroyer. So the mystery of life and death is there in that fiery lives. What happens? About half of our age is a period of growth, increase, sustenance. How does it happen? We are told that these fiery lives, they are active on microbes. Now microbes on their own have a tendency to attack healthy cells to get vitality from them. But what happens is fiery lives, they give themselves as a sacrifice to the microbes and compel them to build the material of the body. So by that sacrifice, microbes are made to build the body material. But this period doesn't last endlessly. It goes on for about 35 years of an age, and afterwards comes the decline. Why? Because these fiery lives have exhausted themselves of that vitality which they have given to these microbes. And what happens then? Their restraint which was there on the microbes is removed. And then the microbes run a riot. They attack the healthy cells, take away their oxygen. The cells themselves, deprived of their vitality, they form the ferment, which in turn attack the neighboring cell, rob their oxygen. They in turn, deprived of their vitality, form the ferment, attack the neighboring cell. You can see the process of destruction once given systematically goes, expands, and then spreads all over the whole body in the long run. And finally comes about decay and destruction. Why are we trying to discuss all the science of the body? It is this that gives us a message that this 35 years or so, I can say about 40 years, is a period which is so precious that we need to make best use of by trying to build a good foundation of the body. What our youngsters are doing, they live extremely hectic life, but it's very sorry for them. No fixed hours of sleeping, no fixed way of the eating. There is a fast food, fast drink, and fast life, and they ruin their health instead of building that firm foundation. So that the body is so nicely built that in the later age it would not be easily attacked by the microbes, etc., and it will be able to give us a healthful life for a longer period. Life can be prolonged up to a period by a judicious use of the body, by right way of utilizing the body. Also, we should remember the fact that we are surrounded by an ocean of life. Life current is impinging on us. What do we mean by that? We say sun is a giver of light and life. It's very true. From it, our emanating waves of the life energy. And the whole universe is surrounded by the ocean of life, and they are trying to enter into our body. And when we are away, we are resisting that life current. But ultimately, end of the day, we become very exhausted. Our senses and our sensory ganglia, they become so exhausted because of the inflowing life. And at the end of the day, we get so saturated that we are unable to resist the current and we fall asleep. And in sleep, what happens is that gradually the equilibrium is established. And we are told, what exactly is that equilibrium? That life currents are really the regulator, the sustainer, and the something which feeds our body. And it is the healthy or normal state of the organ which will absorb or not be able to absorb and make use of that vitality which is entering into our body. So it is this sleep, in the sleep, as it were, kind of assimilation, one can say, takes place of that vitality which enters into the body. In fact, Dr. Richardson has said that during sleep, these light currents may accumulate into the nervous centers and kind of bring them to their new tone. Muscles are rejuvenated, senses are rejuvenated, you are recharged to take on life again next day. So we can see that sleep plays a very, very vital role in healthy living. Again, one feels very sorry that these young executives are having strict duties. They do not pay attention to how much sleep they take. All the time pressures which are changing, they do not pay attention to this important factor in their health that they need to take at least what is needed for their healthy living, appropriate number of hours of sleep, and preferably at the regular time. They say early to bed and early to rise. If we cannot do that, at least let's try to maintain that hour. Also, when we sleep, we can see that we might be very stressful throughout the day, but when we fall asleep, we are able to drop off our worries and get into that peaceful state. We are becoming ourselves. We forget that we are Mr. X, Mrs. Y, I have this problem, that problem. In sleep, we attain to that peace, it really rejuvenates us. So, from that angle as well, sleep plays a very, very vital role. And so we need to pay attention to giving ourselves the amount of sleep that is needed. Also, the state of our mind, emotions, moods, they have tremendous influence on our body. In fact, they directly impact on our body. We know that when we are angry, what happens? Our body starts shaking. The blood rushes to our face and our voice also trembles. And adrenaline is released by the automatic nervous system. It eliminated by in our mind, anger affects our body. You can see that. Also, adrenaline, it diverts the blood flow from the digestive system to muscles. And obviously, then if it is sustaining, then you would lose interest in eating anything. You can see the mind affects the body. Similarly, those who suffer from mental depression, in their case, it is observed, science has carried out the experiments, and they have seen that those who suffer from mental depression, in their case, the chemical or serotonin is reduced in the brain, or there is a reduced activity of serotonin in the brain. Also, the moods are anger or thoughts, they affect the secretion of the hormones in the body. Hormones are very important in the health of the body. They are affected. And unfortunately, these of course have been studied in detail by science, and as a result of it, what is done by medical science is that you have mental depression, take antidepressant drugs, and by which antidepressant drugs will try to accumulate more serotonin in your brain, by which there is an artificial kind of elevation of your mood, and you feel you have become alright. This is not correct. You have not really addressed the root cause. Why are you feeling depressed? What is it? Is that fear? Attack the root cause rather than trying to manipulate the chemicals in your body. That is what our medical science is trying to do very often. So we need to pay attention. What kind of medicines are we taking? Is it attacking the root cause or is it simply trying to manipulate these chemicals in the body? And in fact, mind is a very powerful instrument by which health can be restored. In fact, there is a very, very famous example of one American essayist and editor, Norman Cousins. He was suffering first from heart disease and then later on he was suffering from acute arthritis. And he was given up by his doctors that he will not live long. So, having realized that I'm not going to live long, so why not experiment in my own ability to restore my health? And so what he experimented with was ability to change my stance, which would help him bring about healing. So what he would do, he would watch comedy movies and have a hearty laugh after watching a movie, and then he would have a peaceful sleep. And he has gone on record to say that 10 minutes of hearty laughter can give a man about 1 hour of painless sleep. Now this is a man who has experienced his whole life and is telling that. And of course now we have lots of laughter clubs, people join that, laugh. These are the ingredients we need to add into our own life. Peaceful, something, music which elevates you, meditation, or something, scriptures which will bring about serenity of mind. We need to add these ingredients in our life for healthy living. Also, we are affected by a lot of negative emotions which are there. People are full of negative emotions like anger, envy, pride, jealousy, and so on. Anger, we saw how it affects our physical body. But these negative emotions, they attack the very foundation of the body. What is that foundation? It is the astral body. Physical body is built on the inner blueprint, the astral body which is not visible. And it is affected by the thoughts, feelings, desires, emotions. And we are told, as Vijaya says, that when you are angry, the whole astral body shakes and produces cracks in the astral. When you are having fear, the body shrinks, it shivers it up. When you are envious, you are attracting to yourself the evil elementals, the lies which are floating in the air, attracting to yourself, which makes the astral body turbulent. And we are told that vanity has an effect of an explosion in the long run, which would shatter your astral body into many, many pieces. And when the blueprint is faulty, obviously what you are going to have is that physical body is going to follow the master plan which is there in the astral body, and disease, disruption is bound to then occur on the physical plane. So we are reminded how these negative emotions need to be got rid of. But nonetheless, of course, all said and done, oftentimes we do suffer from the disease. And when we suffer from the disease, what is our attitude? We start popping pills. While seeing our friend popping heavy antibiotics for any smallest illness, and doctors also, strangely, they give all those antibiotics and so much doses, and people start popping pills. Is that right? Certainly not. Because give a body a chance, they say. Your body has the ability to heal itself. Health is considered to be a state of homeostasis. Homeostasis is the organism's way of regulating itself and bringing about a steady state when its surroundings and circumstances are changing. And body can do that, and it does that. We know that there are regulatory systems which maintains the body temperature, which maintains the fluid, maintains the hormones. We are aware of this. Body regulates all this. There is also a defense mechanism in the body. We know that when the microorganisms, they try to cause diseases, the white blood cells cells will rush and try to destroy this microorganism. And then what you have is maybe an inflammation. And which is really not a disease. It's a symptom that body is now fighting to restore the harmony. You eat something wrong and body tries to throw it out. It's the body's way of restoring the harmony. So give a body a chance to restore your health. And rather than starting to pop pills immediately every time you have smallest symptoms. Also, one may wonder that I have lived all day healthy, I'm eating healthy food, I'm doing exercise, but then why do I have, say, a disease? Or a child is born with congenital disease. One wonders why the child has that disease. And we are told that this is not the only life. We have lived in the past many incarnations. The seeds of disease we carry with ourselves in the next life. And see what Mr. Judge says in quotation number 7. Quotation number 7 says that, but regarding it, that is, regarding disease from the philosophical side, we know that the thoughts of the preceding life are the cause for the troubles and joys of this. And therefore, those troubles are now being exhausted, cured by the proper channel, the body, and are on their way down and out. Their exit ought not to be stopped. It may sound very strange, we are told their exit ought not to be stopped. And this is actually practiced by some of the great beings, the great case of Ramana Maharshi, who was suffering from cancer. He said, I will not take medicine, let me liquidate my karma. The seeds of the wrong doing, they are there in the mind. And they try to bring about its expression through those currents which are there floating. Just the way blood is circulating in the body, we are told that there are vital currents which are there, vital airs which are there in our body circulating and sustaining and maintaining good health. These vital currents, they then become the agency for the expression of this seed. They carry the appropriate vibration to the physical body and they express themselves as disease. So disease is nothing but a liquidating your karma. Of course, this doesn't mean that you should not, you know, use drugs. It should be made use of. It should be said that there is a lot of benefit to be derived from right use of drugs. We should use it so that they can find their expression and they are eliminated and once for all we have got rid of it. Therefore, right kind of remedy is very, very important. So, an important law of healing, we can say, is that give a body a chance, choose your physician well, someone who inspires confidence. People, I mean, make you feel, you know, they are there just to please you. Don't go to such doctors, but instead, in good old days, there used to be a tradition of family doctors. They would know you so well and they would be treating you as an individual rather than symptoms and just the superficial effects. So, choose the physician in whom you have confidence. And most important, choose the system which is right. There are so many systems for bringing about cure. There is Ayurveda, there is homeopathy, there is allopathy. Then also, there are alternative therapies, acupressure, acupuncture, naturopathy, and so on. Some people resort to hypnotism, and also there are people going to what is called as mind cure, metaphysical healing, or what is called as Christian science. This is a dangerous way. It should be said, do not follow these systems which are saying that they are making use of mind or spirit to bring about healing. Why? Because often they deny the very existence of disease itself. You are actually suffering from the disease and they say there is no disease. They follow what is called as a system of affirmation and denial. They say that there is no disease, everything is good, there is only spirit, there is nothing like matter, there is no evil. And Christian science says that God is all good, there is no disease, there is no evil, there is no earthquake, there is no suffering. Right in the face of things that are all the time going on, earthquakes, tsunami, they say all these are not there. Now, this is just putting a, you know, yourself putting on your eye and denying something which you can see as a self-evident fact. But people will argue that your star brought about by this sort of testing. And HPD says that half, if not two-thirds of our, you know, diseases are because of our wrong imagination and fears. And these systems, what they do is that often time when you are denying your fact and there is a great faith in the system, it works like shifting your focus away from the disease, away from the negative emotions, and allows that healing mechanism of body to restore the harmony and not health. But if the seeds of disease are there in mind, it is not imaginary, they are actually there, then we are told what happens is that those vibrations which are flowing on their way out in the form of disease, those currents which are expressing that disease, they are violently grasped and thrown back to the mind from which the seeds are trying to manifest. With the result, what happens is that for a moment you may feel that you know you have got rid of the disease. It's only a temporary thing. You have pushed back the seeds in its hiding place. It's a returning disease for future use. Once again, these will come back. If not in this life, in future life. You are not dealt with the root causes. And so, you have really not addressed it in a right way. Also, what happens is that not always things stop at that. That force sometimes reacts violently and it comes with a double vigor. And it comes with such a double force that people sometimes go insane. And at times, diseases of more violent characteristics they manifest themselves. So, this is something HPD says that it is best, she says, it is better to restore health by physical means and leave alone methods that profess to bring cure through mind and spirit. Now what do you mean by using physical methods rather than you know, using this so-called mind cure or metaphysical healing? We know that music has got a tremendous effect on our mood. Music can arouse anger, fear, it can arouse serenity, calmness, ferocity, all these emotions can be aroused by music. So, we know that music is made use historically, there are many examples. David, in the Old Testament, we are told that he could cast out demons from a person's body, soul, by playing what is called a harp. Similarly, Mesmer and Jesuit priest Kircher, they made use of harmonica, which produces melodious sound to remove diseases. And they have done enormous study and they have proved the ability of music to remove and you know, diseases and make about cure. Escapians could cure acute back pain, what is called a sciatica, by blowing trumpet in a right way. And similarly, Democritus could make about cure by playing melodious sound of flute. And HPD explains how this whole thing happens. She says that sound has got an attractive ability. It draws out the disease from the body, which streams out on hearing the music, it comes out and it blends with the waves of sound and the two blend together and disappear in space. Now this is something which is told to us by an occultist. So this is an occult explanation as to how music can bring about cure. And also people have made use of systems, particularly in historical time, mesmerism. We know that everything in nature, whether any living thing, even an inanimate object has got a magnetism of its own. We at once take a liking to some people and sometimes we are just, without any reason, repulsed when we meet another person. There is a magnetism which is very emanating from every one of us. And we are told that it is a kind of fluid which a person, if he knows, he can emit from the tip of the, his fingers as well as from his eyes and bring about cures. And this has been used in the past in historical time, and it was rediscovered by Mesmer in the ancient time. How does it happen? We are told that the person who is having healthy constitution, you can say he is a positively charged person. He has got an excessive good health element in him. And when he touches another for the purpose of cure and applies his will, and that other person has got ill health, he can call it as a person with a negative vitality. And you know, opposite attract. And what happens is then, with the will is able to discharge this vital element, fluid, from himself into his patient. And obviously then, the equilibrium is restored. And the health is restored. And in fact, miraculous cures have been brought about by using this method of mesmerism. People, the dumb starts talking, the lame starts walking, the blind starts seeing, and so on. This is historically proven fact. But let's not start rushing into this realm where, as it were, angels would be able to play. HPB warns us that those who have, that good health, they may think that I would like to try to cure another. They need to remember that when you try to cure another, like the touch or the effort of your will, by extreme compassion and by that, different polarity which is there between yourself and the patient, when you are giving the fluid to other person, you are depriving yourself, you are depleted of that vitality yourself. And if you continue to do that, in the long run, you are likely to become an invalid yourself, unless you have excess of that vitality within you, which is enough to sustain your body, to enable you to do your duties, and still bring about cures. Not many have that sort of robust vitality, robust health, so we need to be aware of this fact. And on the part of the patient, miraculous cure, let's go, rush, and heal ourselves. Warning again is given to people against this sort of, cures, resorting to this sort of cures, because along with the vitality, the person unknowingly is passing on to you the seeds of disease that may be there in the person himself. With the vitality, if the person is diseased, he is passing on the germ of the disease to you without his knowledge, along with that so-called vitality, which would find its expression sometime or another. And at times, of course, they would not be even successful in bringing about cure, or being successful just to the extent of pushing the disease back. But later on, that disease will reappear. And more dangerous is the thing that if the person is morally impure, then he is passing on that moral taint to you. Immoral living is infectious, and that infection is passed on to the patient who doesn't know that with the physical health, he is getting that infection which is of far worse nature. And HPB says that it is easier to call, it is easier to cure bodily disease than cleanse a constitution infected with moral pollution. So let's be aware that when we go into this, that a person in need really pure, and we are quite desperate to resort to this sort of practices to bring about cure or disease. And also, cures are brought about by faith, sheer faith, faith in the doctor, faith in a holy place, faith in the charm, faith in a talisman, faith in anything. It should be in fact described a whole lot of things. If you just have a faith, then cures are brought about. How? Those are really the result of the will of the person himself. And in fact, some very humorous political incidences there, such was being complete that day. You know, he was about to perform an operation on a patient. And before performing the operation, what he did is that he put a thermometer in the mouth of his patient to see what is his temperature. And the patient felt that this is a part of the treatment. And he said, I'm already feeling all right, you know. So what Sir M. Humphrey Davy did is that instead of doing the operation, every day he put thermometer in the mouth of his patient, day after day, day after day. This patient who was suffering from paralysis was cured. This is the fate. He was thinking he is being treated by medicine. His own will started acting in a positive manner. Fears were gone and body got out of trouble. The inner currents restored its rhythm. Cure was brought about. Effect of placebo pills is also well known. Group of people who are given just the sugar pills, nothing else, sugar pills, but they are told that you are given a newly discovered medicine. Successfully tried, 90% cure, for sure. They were cured, many of them were cured, because they believe that I am taking medicine which is already successful, proven, and obviously I must be cured. It is their own will that has internally acted and got more cure. Similarly, a good physician, we are told that, would try to encourage you to have confidence in yourself, confidence in, and if it feels that you are not having any problem with your, you know, with your body or something, they will just give you vitamin injections. And you feel that you are getting medicine, and before you know, if you have a nice rapport with your physician, your, you know, disease before long disappears. So faith cures are also a reality, which shows that we are so full of negative emotions and negative, you know, imagination, fears, anxiety. Get rid of them, and more often than not, diseases in the first place will not attack. Even if they attack, added boosts will be given to the portions in bringing about cure. All these are important factors in bringing about cures. And it's good medical science is doing a lot of, you know, investigation, and all those so-called dark age diseases like smallpox, cholera, we don't hear of them anymore. We have medicines, you know, to cure people. But more lasting diseases like cancer, like autoimmune disorder, AIDS, is attacking people out of which we do not have any cure as of late. What is it? It is attributed to man's own wrong way of living. And excellent advisor for Mr. Jack says that mend your ways, change the way you're living, and you will not have any disease. So your last quotation, quotation 10 says this, the world could get along with what disease there is if it only turned attention to high ethics and altruistic endeavor. For after a few centuries of right living, the nations would have purged themselves and built up a right moral building well founded on the rocks of true philosophy, charity, and love. Now friends, we have about 6 minutes to take up your questions on the subject of our lecture.
Yes friends, we can take up your questions, can I? I think I hope you have understood the question. You see, in case of Jesus, he went to leper asylum.